written by Albert A. Bichel, narrated by Alan Mercer, first recorded 2026, and now, before you go. Prologue. The lab smelled like brine and bleach, a combination so familiar Marin no longer registered it, until someone wrinkled their nose at her coat. She stood at the fume hood, pipette in hand, her fourth set of samples that morning, because the third had shown contamination and the second had been kicked over by the postdoc with the nervous tick. Her hair clip had surrendered somewhere around hour three, and a strand of sun-streaked brown kept grazing her cheekbone. She tucked it back with a wrist, smearing something wet near her temple. The phone buzzed against the metal bench. She ignored it. It buzzed again, and again. A fourth time, insistent enough that she set the pipette down, stripped off her left glove, and checked the screen. Cyrus Boyd. Marin stared at the name. Cyrus hadn't called her in 4 years. He'd stopped calling entirely after she'd stopped returning them. After the funeral she'd attended in a fog of Xanax and obligation. After she'd fled Port Willis like a boat casting off in a storm, she almost let it go to voicemail. Her thumb hovered in some instinct, the same one that made her check the gas stove 3 times before bed, pressed green, Marin. Cyrus's voice was gravel and salt, scraped raw by decades of pipe tobacco and wind. You need to sit down. She didn't sit. She stood frozen beside the fume hood, free hand gripping the edge of the bench, and listened to him tell her that Dan's boat had been found 12 miles off Matinicus Rock. The engine had failed. The radio was out. The hull, what remained of it, had been battered against the ledges. The Coast Guard had searched for 36 hours. They called it 30 minutes ago. He's gone, Marin. I'm sorry. She made a sound. She didn't know what kind of sound. Cyrus kept talking, something about the memorial, about the inn, about how Dan's truck was still parked at the marina with the keys in the ignition because that was Dan. Always Dan, trusting the whole damn world. She heard none of it. The line went dead. She set the phone down on the bench, very carefully, beside the glove she'd peeled off, and watched her hand tremble. The last words she'd said to him had been, "I can't do this anymore." It was a Tuesday. He'd been home for 4 days between research trips, and she'd found the email, not hidden. He'd left his laptop open on the kitchen counter, stupidly trusting, and there it was, a message from a woman named Alara, all lowercase, full of the kind of shorthand intimacy that couldn't be faked. "Can't wait to see you next month. The berth feels empty without you." A berth. Like a boat. Like his boat, the Halcyon, which Marin had never loved but had learned to tolerate, because Dan loved it the way other men love dogs or children. She'd confronted him in the driveway. He'd been loading gear into the truck bed, his back to her, those broad shoulders she'd traced 1,000 times in the dark. When he turned, his face had done something she'd never seen before, a crumpling, a collapse. And she'd known, before he said a word, that it was true. "It's not what you think," he'd said. The cliche of it had almost made her laugh. "I want you gone before I get back," she'd told him. Her voice had been steady. That was the part she kept returning to. In the hours after Cyrus's call, how steady she'd been. How cold. "Take whatever you need. I'll have Juniper pack the rest." "Marin, don't." He'd reached for her. She'd stepped back, and her heel had caught on a loose paver, and she'd stumbled, just slightly, just enough that he'd caught her elbow. She'd wrenched free. The scar on her chin, the one from falling off the pier when she was 7, had throbbed with the memory of impact. "I mean it," she'd said. "Go," he'd gone. She'd watched his truck turn onto Route 28, and she hadn't cried. And she'd gone back inside and finished her coffee, and 3 days later, she'd filed the paperwork. And now he'd gone somewhere she couldn't follow with a signed affidavit and a notary stamp. Lab door swung open. The postdoc, thin, nervous, perpetually apologetic, stuck his head in. "Dr. Hargrove, you okay?" "I heard I'm fine." The words came out clipped, automatic. "I need to leave early." She didn't wait for a response. She stripped off her remaining glove, grabbed her bag from the hook by the door, and walked out into the hallway where the fluorescent lights buzzed at a frequency that always gave her a headache. She'd been meaning to put in a maintenance request. She'd been meaning to do a lot of things. Her car was in the lot, a Subaru with a rust spot on the rear quarter panel and a parking sticker that expired next month. She sat in the driver's seat with the door open, 1 foot still on the asphalt, and breathed. The air was warm and thick, Maine, Massachusetts, nothing like the sharp salt scrub of Maine. She'd always hated how the wind off Buzzards Bay felt muffled, how the light here was softer, less honest. Dan had loved the light in Port Willis. He'd said it was the only place in the world where the sun told the truth. She closed the car door, drove home, packed, jeans, sweaters, wool socks, because even in late spring the nights on the coast could bite. She didn't own a black dress that fit anymore. She'd thrown out the